got a feeling about whether schools should reopen. Taking a look right now, so many of the schools are looking ahead to 2021 and figuring out when they'll reopen, if they'll reopen, what circumstances, who should come back, who shouldn't, and laying those plans out. School CEO in Chicago, Chicago Public Schools, Janice Jackson, CEO, said that officials are so convinced that reopening schools is safe, they're working on a plan to bring back at least some high schools during the second semester, in addition to elementary schools and special ed programs. Today's actually opt-in day. You got to opt in as a CPS parent by today if you would like your kid to go back to in-person learning at some point during the school year. You got to opt in today, or, you know, you're not going to be eligible for that. If you're on the fence, they say pick in-person learning, because at least you'll still qualify, even if you decide later, no, you're not interested in that. Now, the school CEO, Janice Jackson, and the teachers union are not exactly on the same page with all this. There have been some developments, and we're going to talk about some of that in a moment with Nader Issa. He covers education at the Sun-Times. But I do want to just play for you here this audio of Janice Jackson speaking about teachers returning to the schools.
What about a teacher who doesn't have a pre-existing condition but just is afraid? Does that person get fired?
Well, first of all, just to step back, this is a job. People do have protections, and I don't want to, you know, go down the road of a hypothetical. What I will say is that we will be following all of our policies and procedures. We will be following the law that affords people FMLA accommodations due to health conditions, et cetera. However, it's just like any other job. If the expectation is to return to work, and there is nothing precluding you from doing that that violates your rights, your FMLA rights, the expectation is that people show up to work. And if they don't show up to work, it will be handled the same way it's handled in any other situation where an employee fails to come to work.
That means goodbye.
I think we made that clear. This is a job. You have to show up and do your job.
All right, your colleague over there at the Sun-Times, Fran Spielman, made a bit of news with that interview. Nader, how you doing this afternoon?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, Friday? Friday interview? I heard it Friday. I think it happened around then.
Yeah, Friday morning into afternoon is when Fran talked to CEO Jackson.
Yeah, so there have been a couple developments since then. Nader, can you kind of bring us up to speed? I saw you even tweeting about how CTU, the Chicago Teachers Union, has posted a few things, including a legal attempt to put the reopening plans on hold.
Yeah, sure thing. So the CTU is going back today to the Illinois Educational Labor Relations Board, which oversees relationships between school districts and teachers unions. And they're alleging that CPS is trying to forge ahead with its reopening without negotiating health and safety protocols with the CTU. And so this is something that the CTU tried to do, first filed basically this exact legal challenge in court at the end of October. In November, that Labor Relations Board told the CTU that there was nothing they could do because at that point CPS hadn't set a specific firm deadline for reopening schools. And so what the CTU was seeking then and is seeking now is to put a hold on any reopening until CPS engages in good faith bargaining over health and safety protocols. Now that a date has been set, some teachers are going back for special education programs, preschool programs, January 4th. Elementary school teachers are going back a couple weeks later in January. There's now a reason to go back to the Labor Relations Board and try to basically put that on hold until everything the CTU wants to discuss on health and safety is fully agreed to between the union and the district.
All right, I'm looking to their list. The CTU put out this news, I guess there's a release just maybe a few hours ago. They're saying that we just don't think it's safe yet. Don't arbitrarily set a reopening date. just to justify your decision and say that it's ready to go when the teachers union doesn't believe that it is. Things that they're calling for, though, and this is puzzling, I want to ask you if you can help me understand this. They want PPE. I thought they had PPE. COVID-19 screenings, again, testing, contact tracing, and a vaccination. A nurse in every school, smaller classes that allow for social distancing, social and emotional supports for traumatized students, and upgrades to the ventilation. I thought that they also did the ventilation, too, in every school. I thought that was something else that it handled. So I didn't quite understand why these were some of these were still issues. Others deserve some clarification, though, Nader. Can you kind of explain it to us?
Yeah, so I think the issue is CPS, for a lot of these things, is basically saying, we're going to do it, trust us. And for the union, that's not good enough. They want to have more of a direct say. They want to sort of see the proof before they believe it. And so, and it's not an unwarranted stance. CPS a lot of times has promised things in the past and not delivered. And so they want to know, okay, we have PPE. You say you conducted ventilation tests. Let us go in there and independently do it, or hire an independent ventilation expert to go check out the schools. They just don't believe that CPS is, they don't want to trust CPS's word on this stuff. They want to sort of see it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. You think, is that going to happen? Is there enough time to do all of that before these opening dates that are already set? As you pointed out, isn't it special ed and pre-K are supposed to go back, what, January 11th? All else, mm-hmm. February 1st, I guess high school would remain remote for now, but there is still a plan that within the next few months, before the end of the school year, that they would even bring high school back. Isn't that the plan?
Yeah, that's the plan, and that's kind of the rub here is if this sort of legal challenge works and the CTU gets the injunction that it wants, the reopening dates are probably going to have to be pushed back. I don't see a way that all of these issues can be resolved in that short of time. It might be another week or two before this Illinois Educational Labor Relations Board hears the union's case. And so let's say they hear it, let's say they grant the injunction, CPS has to put its date on hold, the two sides have to get back to bargaining and hammer out all their differences. I'm not sure that there's going to be enough time for them to accomplish that between now and January 11th. Really, the date is going to be January 4th because that's when teachers are supposed to report back, and a week before those students. And so, at this point, if the injunction is successful, then yeah, I would imagine that CPS will have to move its dates back.
Okay, putting a nurse in every school. Am I imagining things? I could have sworn the teacher's contract that we all covered so heavily involved getting a nurse into every school, and isn't that the reality, or soon to be the reality in CPS, if it isn't in every single school, that very shortly that will happen?
That was a big part of the contract. You're right about that. Soon is not the case, though. The agreement was hiring would ramp up between now and 5 years from now. And so I believe the date was 2024. By then there would be a nurse in every school. So right now that's not the case. There is not a nurse in every CPS school, especially when we're talking about testing and identifying symptoms and even doing temperature checks, health screening, all that. Some of that will have to be done by teachers and other school support staff. They're just, at this point, there's not a nurse in every building in the district.
Well, the nurse couldn't do everybody's temperature check anyway, right? I mean, my daughter's school is now shut down, but it was open for a brief period of time for hybrid, and it was never, her temperature was always taken by whatever teacher was the one assigned to that spot where you pulled up, and that they would administer the temperature check.
Right, and so that's going to happen. There's, even if there is a nurse in every building, there are going to be teachers and staff that are going to be asked to do some of that work. Those details, I think, are what the CTU wants to hammer out is, okay, if you are going to make teachers and school staff do this work, what are the guidelines behind it? We're going to make sure there's proper PPE, there's proper hand sanitizer, disinfectant. if you're saying you bought those things, let's get an agreement on what happens if a school doesn't have them, things like that. And so the CTU, the union's looking to sort of formalize some of that stuff, whereas CPS is saying that's on us to do. You just trust us and come back and, like, the schools are safe. We're okay to do this. And so, yeah, just formalizing some of that stuff and seeing it on paper enforceable instead of trusting the district is what the CTU is looking for.
There's not a lot of trust there, Nader. You cover this more closely than I do. It seems the CTU and CPS, I never see really points where they praise each other or show much agreement on anything. I just think right now the stakes are high and it needs to be figured out. I mean, we've talked about the learning divide before. Black and brown kids, low-income kids, kids who are not well-resourced, kids who have parents who work as essential workers right now are falling behind. They're not doing well with the virtual learning as a general rule. They want to be safe when they return, for sure, but you're looking at examples all across the nation, all across the Chicagoland area, where they have been able to make it work. And I just wonder what is so different about those schools and CPS and the guarantees that are being in place for them.
Yeah, so that's a great question, actually. There are big differences between CPS and other districts. I just wrote a story at the end of last week about COVID data in Illinois schools, suburban districts, private schools, all that. And the headline on the story was Illinois schools have not been COVID super spreaders, according to data. And so that's true. There has not been a ton of huge outbreaks in Illinois schools, especially in the Chicagoland area. The problem with that is a lot of the schools that we're looking at are better resourced. They aren't as dense. So CPS has a lot greater density than a lot of suburban districts and private schools. Most importantly, class sizes are not as big in suburban districts and private schools. So there are some differences, some major differences. There are schools, for example, in the Catholic schools that can have class sizes of 10 students, and you can socially distance, and they maybe have the resources to ensure there's proper ventilation, whereas CPS, according to the state standards, is funded at 63% of what it should be. And so there are problems there. There are things to address, the district and the union are going to have to work it out. But I do agree that this is a time when it needs to be worked out. There has to be collaboration.
Right.
This isn't the same case as the strike, for example, last year, where they can disagree and sort of take their time and get their differences sorted out. Every day that goes by, there are families that are not doing well.
Sure.
I will add one thing on this issue of educate and learning loss for black and brown students. That is true. So the district has put out data about reading levels and math levels and grades for students broken down by race, broken down by age group, all of that. And what that showed is that black and Latino students have dropped their grades a little more than white and Asian American students have. So there is a little truth behind the fact that obviously this has hurt the people who are already hurt before the pandemic.
Can least afford it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. An issue with that, though, is we've also seen that black and brown families are least likely to be comfortable sending their kids back to school right now because they've also been hurt the most by the pandemic. And they've had family members get sick and parents die and just they're getting hurt by the pandemic. And so when we talk about equity and returning to schools and serving the people who need it the most right now, you also have to look at, are those families comfortable sending their students back? And you look at New York City, for example, which has been open all fall. There's a disproportionate amount of white families that are sending their children back to schools compared to black families. And so at the end of the day, when that happens, are those inequities being fixed or are they being widened? And that's something the district's going to have to look at. I think a big part of this isn't just making schools safe. It's also convincing families that they're safe and making them comfortable and letting them know that the district is here for you. We care about you. We're going to make sure that your child is safe, your family is safe. And that takes collaboration. That takes an effort across the board. And I'm just not sure that that's there right now.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I take your point because it is absolutely true. You have to convince also that it is safe to return. I suppose we'll have a lot more data if today is the deadline for CPS parents, because they'll need to say, I'm going to allow my kid to opt in or not. And so at this point in the pandemic, will have minds changed? Have they looked at more data? It's a terrible time with the coronavirus locally in terms of the surge. But in terms of the school's data, I wonder how many parents will now be saying, yes, soon, in the near future, I'd be okay with my kid going back. We'll have to look at that. I got a text here, 217. Hi, Ann. I'm a downstate high school teacher teaching remotely. Almost half of my students are earning a D or F because they are not doing the work. I spent days and days calling and meeting with parents. Unfortunately, some parents don't want to parent or help us or hold their kids accountable. I have family members and friends in public education. Sometimes it isn't just the parents don't want to, it's that the parents are working full time out of the house and have to be there in order to pay for food, right? And handle all the things in the family that they need to handle. So it's putting an incredible strain on families for sure. Hey, Nader, can you hang on for a second? Because I do want to ask you about if you know anything about where teachers are in the vaccine line, if there have been discussions about that, because that's part of CTU's request, too. I see that in the text of what they're asking for. And I'd love to know what you have to say about that, what we know about that. Can you hang on just a second?
Sure thing.
Okay, Nader Issa covers education at the Sun-Times. Do you have a thought about this? Any thoughts? You can certainly weigh in anytime. 312-981-7200, your thoughts about schools reopening. Before we took a break there here, I'm talking to Nader Issa from the Sun-Times. He covers education over there, and the subject has come up about vaccine prioritization and where teachers might fall on that list. I haven't heard from the governor on this whole thing, Nader, in terms of where teachers might be. It seemed like they were in the discussion, but what do you know on that?
Yeah, so I don't think teachers are going to be among the first group. We know that the CDC has recommended that healthcare workers and residents of long-term care facilities are going to be the first ones to receive the vaccine. We've seen in other states like Arizona, the governor said that teachers will be among the first a group of people there to be vaccinated. Governor Pritzker last week talked about it a little bit. He did say that he doesn't think teachers will be among the very first group to be vaccinated. But they'll be somewhere near the top because it's such a high priority to get kids back in schools. And so that's something I'm still trying to figure out is exactly where in line they'll be. But it's not going to be toward the end, maybe a little higher than the middle of the line, but definitely not among the very, very first people.
Did you take that quiz in the New York Times? We have a link to it at WGNRadio.com. Okay, where are you? Find your place in the vaccine line. You answer a couple questions, your age, your county. Do you work in these professions? They list them. Do you have COVID-related health risks? Pretty simple. 2 minutes, they give you your answer. What did you get?
I think I got somewhere in the 125, 130 million people ahead of me.
I'm 268 million. Meeting 2025, I think I'm going to get. I'll be offered.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know exactly why it is. I wonder what the circumstances are for me being up there. But yeah, I got toward the middle of the list, so I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, I think that what they do is they go through the healthcare workers, first responders. They have the nursing home, assisted living, prisons, mm-hmm. folks who are in living environments crowded with a lot of folks. It goes through the whole list, but apparently younger people, like college age students, are before the middle aged people, or the people in their 30s and 40s, even some 50s before they get to it. That's sort of how the prioritization has worked from the CDC. Now how the state carries that out and where teachers rank, I think a lot of folks will be anxious to see. So keep us posted on stuff, Nader. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, will do.
All right, Nader Issa there with the Chicago Sun-Times.